Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Talk about fasting for 21 days. Some of you may be here and you're unchurched or you haven't been in church in a long time and you think, my goodness, these people are going to go without food for 21 days. I mean, they are really religious. They're a bunch of goody-two-shoes. But I just want you to know, we're not so good, okay? Everyone in this building has out-sinned you 10 to 1, all right? Amen. Don't let all these pretty faces fool you, okay? But seriously, what we do does not make us good because the Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we can't get to heaven by what we do. If we could, there was no reason that Jesus gave his life and died on the cross. You know, it's interesting, but on the night that he was betrayed, before he went to the cross, he took his disciples to a garden and he said, "Watch and pray with me." Now, Jesus went and prayed, but the disciples took a nap, all right? He came back and says, "What are you doing? Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour?" And some of us read that verse in the Bible and we think, pray an hour? Man, I have a tough time making it past 10 minutes. You know, I run out of words to say. And then when I run out of words, maybe I'll sing a little. And then when I get done singing, maybe I'll read my Bible a little. And then after that, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm done. How would I pray for an hour? Some of you might think, you know, how would I pray for even 30 minutes or 20 minutes? All of us are at different places in our life. This study that we're going to do the next several weeks is going to help you. If you have a very limited prayer life, we're going to give you several practical tips, several keys that will help you expand that. And if you already have a wonderful prayer life, these keys will enrich an already great prayer life. And so we're going to learn these things. Now, here's the thing. To pray an hour, we have to realize that many times we have been feeding our flesh, our natural man, and we haven't trained our natural man to pray. And so there are things in our lives that may conflict. I mean, sometimes I know people love television so much, I would rather watch TV and they don't take time for prayer. For some people, it might be Facebook, or it might be food, or it might be friends or their family. For some people, it's work. And what there's something in their life, it's a craving, and they crave it so much that it edges out. It's like Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if you want to be stronger in the spirit realm, then you need to die to your flesh. And there might be some things God is asking you to cut out of your lives. And these next 21 days would be a great time to cut those things out and say, God, for 21 days, I'm going to cut this out so that I can try to grow and get closer to you and really develop my relationship, my communication with you. So we have been talking about the past couple weeks saying that we are what? We've been talking about our identity. Who are we? Priests, that's right. If you have asked Jesus Christ in your life, you are a priest. Everyone say, I'm a priest. Now, priests do two things. Do you remember what they are? The first week we talked about priests do what? Minister to God. And then last week we talked about that priests minister to people. Very good. That's what priests do. And as priests, those two things, ministry to God and ministering to people, need to be relevant in our prayer lives. Because so many times we come and we say, well, God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. I need this. I need help here. Bless me with that. And we make life all about us. Friends, let me tell you something. If you're a disciple of Christ, life is not about you. Turn to your neighbor and say, this isn't about you. It's about God, and it's about others. And last week, we said one of the things priests do in ministering to others is they're in charge of the tabernacle. They set up the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a meeting place with God. And the tabernacle, it's very interesting. We've got a diagram up on the slide here. The design of the temple or the tabernacle is going to be a pattern that we're going to walk through for the next few weeks because the tabernacle will teach us how to approach God, how to have this face-to-face connection, how to develop an intimate prayer life. And so we are going to start today on the far right side. And as you can take a look at the screen up there, the tabernacle was really kind of a big yard that was surrounded by silver pillars and then curtains, linen curtains that would connect it, and it would make the rectangle. Now, inside of that was the courtyard. It says the outer court. People could come to the courtyard. All of God's people could go to the courtyard. But then you see the next two smaller rectangles, the holy place. In the holy place, only a priest could go into the holy place. And in the holy of holies, only the high priest could go. And so we're going to be looking at this diagram of the tabernacle for the next several weeks because it is going to give us keys about how you and I pray. And I would like you to look at our text this morning, Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. This is what it says. It says, "Enter into the gates." The gates were on that east side of the tabernacle. That was the only way into the tabernacle. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." How do we enter into the tabernacle? What does it say according to that verse? And how do we enter into the gates of the tabernacle? With thanksgiving. We come into the courts with praise. We need an attitude of gratitude to really start connecting with God. In your notes this morning, on the back of your bulletin, we have sermon notes. And I want you to write this down. It says, "The construction of the tabernacle reveals a pattern as to how we approach God. Following its plan can help us get close to Him." And it says, "Start prayer with praise and thanksgiving." That's how we start our prayer life. That's how we start a conversation with God, is with prayer and thanksgiving. Gratitude is like a key that opens the door to communion with God. We express our admiration and our approval of the Lord because He is good. It says in that verse 5, His mercy is everlasting. In other words, His forgiveness never runs out. No matter how much we mess up, His forgiveness, it never runs out. His truth endures to all generations. His truth is His promises, His principles, His ways, those things He said to us, those never change. You can build your life on them. They are a foundation you can build your life on. And a lot of times we come to God and we praise Him, and what do we say? "Lord, I praise you for the cross. Praise you for dying for my sin. You know, I praise you, God, for being my healer. I praise you that you're always there. I praise you, God, that you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory." And as you begin to praise Him, we're calling out His nature, we're calling out promises from Scripture, and we're focusing on who God is and what He has done. Now, Jesus taught this same principle of praise when He was teaching His disciples how to pray. In fact, when Matthew, who was one of the 12, wrote his gospel, Matthew included Jesus' session on prayer. It was prayer 101. And he included that in his gospel. And Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" And that word hallowed, what that means is to reverence something or to lift something up, to worship, to praise. It involves giving thanks and giving worth to someone, to giving value to God. And so Jesus taught this whole principle of that we need to be a people of praise and thanksgiving. So when you're going to start your prayer time, start it with praise, start it with thanksgiving, be thankful to God for what He's done. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I like to know the why behind things. Do this, why? Now, that's not a good thing to say if you're a child to your parent, okay? You know, I remember when my kids were 2 or 3 years old. You know, do this, why? Do this, why? And you're teaching your kids why, but I'm going to give you 3 whys today why praise and thanksgiving is so vitally important to start your prayer life with. The first one, if you're taking notes, is that praise aligns us with heaven. It aligns us with heaven, and it gives us proper perspective. Praise gives us proper perspective. I know for myself, there's many times when I start to pray and I'm consumed with the things going on in my life. I'm consumed with what's happening. You know, I'm thinking, man, how are my kids doing? And so that's on my mind. I'm thinking of the 49 things I have on my to-do list for work, for the church, for ministry. And then I'm thinking about the 89 things on my honey-do list at home that my wife wants me to do. You know, and I think, I have to call my cell phone company because they botched up my bill again. You know, I'm thinking about, I've had this pain in my side for about 6 weeks, and it's not going away, and something's wrong, and I have to deal with it. Now, I don't have that going on right now, but you've probably been there, you've done that, there's been something going on, you haven't told anyone, but it's nagging you. And these are the kinds of things, when we come to prayer, that a lot of times just, boom, they're front and center right there, and we're focusing on ourselves and our troubles, our anxiety, our stress, our concerns. The cares of life are looming large, and we're focused on the things of the world, and all we see are those imposing walls of our situation that seem to close in around us, and it consumes us. What we need to do in those moments is realize that those things are not that big, but God is bigger. And that's what praise does. Praise helps us to see that God is larger than what has taken place. What I can do is, when I start to praise God, I begin to think of all the times He's answered prayer for me. I think of times I may be worried about something, and it came to nothing because God took care of it. Begin to call past victories. Right before David was going to go fight Goliath, he recalled past victories. He said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear, and this giant, this problem that you see, it's going to be just like one of them. He's going to be dead meat. And that's what praise does. Praise reminds us of God's past, of God's faithfulness, of God's dependability, and it builds our faith. It encourages us. It reminds me, as I look at the promises, and sometimes I'll even look at the Word, and I'll look at special promises, and I'll look at it and I'll say, God, I praise You that You tell me You will provide for all of my needs according to Your riches and glory. God, I praise You that You would tell me to be anxious for nothing. Now, how much is nothing? It's everything in a negative way. And God says, there is nothing in your life. And if there's anything you're stressing about today, that's not nothing, friends, and that's wrong. God says, be anxious for nothing. And so, God, I praise You. You can tell me to be anxious for nothing, and You have done all these things for me in the past, and I praise You because You're going to take care of me in the future. I praise You for Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Lean not my own understanding. How am I going to figure this out? How am I going to make this problem be resolved? How am I going to make this work? I'm not going to figure it out, God. I'm just going to know You in all of my ways and let You direct my paths. And you see, as we are praising and thanking God, praise will lift our eyes out of the valleys and it sets us on the mountains of God. It gives us an aerial view of eternity. It shows us heaven's perspective. Heaven's views shows that we win, does it not? Have you read the back of your Bible in the book of Revelation? If you're a Christ follower, if you're a priest, we've won. That was about 10 of you. All right, yeah. I'm praying for the rest of you. And it's heaven shows us that we win. Heaven reveals the pettiness and the impotence of the devil and all the imps of hell and the almighty power and magnitude of God. When we praise, it shows us heaven's view that this too shall pass. This is just a light and momentary situation, just as that one I had 3 weeks ago, or 3 months ago, or 3 years ago, or 3 decades ago, and God brought me through those. He'll bring me through this light and momentary trouble right now. Praise shows me that the valleys in God's reality are not a downer for me, but they're an opportunity for God to get glory and to grow me. You find lilies in the valley. Do you realize that? Lilies don't grow on the mountaintop. If you want beauty in your life, then you have to go through some valleys, but you have to go through them in a right way, and praise helps you go through the valleys in a proper way to get God's perspective to see down in the valley of what He's doing instead of being caught in the muck and the mire of what's taking place at the time. Now, David, many times in the Psalms, he would start off saying, man, life is so bad, it's so horrible. But by the end of the psalm, he's praising God, and it totally changed his attitude. A good example is Psalm 35. It said, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. And if you'd keep reading, he's just talking about how rough life is. He's being attacked on every side. But in verse 28, the end of the chapter, he says, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. There was a shift in David's life. And friends, I found in my own life, when I have been down, when I begin praising God, it aligns me with heaven. And it changes my perspective. In some of the darkest moments of my life, I've begun to praise God. And here's something. Sometimes I've had to praise Him several times a day to make it through the day. David in Scripture says, seven times a day I'll praise you. Make praise a regular part of your life. That's the way to start because it aligns us with heaven. It gives us God's perspective. Okay, let's take a look in our notes at the second reason, the second why we should praise and thank God. And that's because praise is a weapon to defeat the devil. Now, how many of you want to defeat the devil in your life? I agree. Praise is the weapon that you use to do that with. We're told in Psalm 149, verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Friends, praise is a weapon in our hand because when we're praising God, we're expressing His word, we're expressing His truth, His principles, His promises, we're expressing His nature that He's revealed in Scripture, and we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when I am praising God and using the word and the principles and the promises to do that, it's a two-edged sword, and I'm just flinging it around. And it's like, you know, it's like we're the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Wah, 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 wah. And we're just beating back all the forces of darkness. I'm not going to do that again, okay? Got a little dizzy there. Yeah. How'd that come through on the recording for the podcast? I'll have to listen to that this week. But when you're praising God, you're wielding that sword because praise is powerful, it's active, it's aggressive, and it defeats the enemy in your life. You see, the devil lies to us and says, God doesn't love you because if He really loved you, He wouldn't let this happen to you. Or sometimes he says, he tempts us to sin. He says, you know what? You need to lie about this because if you don't, it's going to hurt you financially. You've got to lie because there's no way you're going to make it. And we need to begin to praise God. And we need to praise God about, God, you tell me that you're a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I praise you. You're that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I praise you that it says that you demonstrated your love for me when I was still an enemy. I praise you, God, for the scriptures that tell me I've been adopted into your family, Romans chapter 8. You see, that's why it's important for you to be reading your Bible, because you read the Bible, and it's putting the word in you, and you can draw on that word and use it to praise God for the circumstance you're going through. You can trust God. You go through temptations to sin, and you can just begin to praise God that He says, you know what? He's providing for my needs so I can tell the truth. I don't have to lie to get out of this financial dilemma. And you can obey God. And as you begin to praise God, it defeats the lies and the temptations that the enemy throws at you. Because the devil tries to make us doubt the faithfulness of God. And he uses fear to do that. Pastor Marcus Brecken calls fear the prophecy of the devil. Isn't that what fear is? That's what the devil says, oh man, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, you're right, I can't do that. And we begin to fear. Fear is the prophecy of the devil. Fear is a false forecast that God will prove unfaithful. I want you to write that in your notes today. Fear is a false forecast that God will prove to be unfaithful. And friends, as we grumble and complain about life, you know what we're doing? We're putting ourselves right in agreement with that prophecy of the devil. We're putting ourselves in agreement with that false forecast that God will prove to be unfaithful. And so instead of grumbling and complaining, we do the opposite. We say, I'm going to praise Him. Even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to magnify Him. He's great. He loves me. God, You're awesome and incredible. And you begin to praise Him, and that defeats the satanic prophecy of fear that Satan's trying to put into your life. Praise is a weapon that defeats the devil. It says in Psalm 8, verse 2, "From the lips of children and infants, You have ordained praise because of Your enemies to silence the foe." You know why I think it says that the praise of children silences the foe? Because little kids have the audacity to believe what God says. And as we get older and more mature, well, yeah, we know that, but we really don't believe it here. When you begin to praise God and believe it, it silences the lies of the enemy. That's the second reason why we begin our prayer life with praise and thanksgiving. The last reason this morning is because God shows up when people praise Him. God shows up when people praise Him. David is described as a man after God's own heart. He wrote Psalm 22, verse 3, and here's two translations of it. First, in the New King James, it says, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Okay? He is holy. He's enthroned in the praises of Israel. In the King James Version, it says this, "But You are holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." What is this verse telling us? It's revealing that whenever the people of God praise, God comes. It's like He drops His throne down on that place, and He establishes His reign and His rule right there when people praise. He's enthroned in it. He inhabits, He sets up a dwelling place, a tabernacle. It's His royal palace. When we praise, God is setting up a palace. And the question is, how big of a throne does God need? Some of us, when it comes to praising God, we have a hard time with it, and we wonder why we should praise. And we give God a little bit of praise, and we don't create a very big throne for Him. I'm holding a dollhouse chair right here. And sometimes the amount of praise that we give Him is maybe very symbolic of this dollhouse chair. And yet we're saying, "Oh, Jesus, I want You. Jesus, I want You to move in my life. Oh, God, help me move in my life." And yet, how much praise and gratitude and thanksgiving is there? If the amount of God that shows up in my life, it directly corresponds to the amount of praise that builds the throne for Him, then how much praise do you and I need to give Him? A lot. And some of us, we're so caught up with where we're at that we have a difficult time praising God. Zach Neese, who is the worship pastor at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, tells about a story in a book he wrote, How to Worship a King. Tells about the time that his wife was pregnant with their second son. And one night, God woke Zach up and He told him, You're going to have a son. He told him his name. I want you to name him Matthias. And they were just so, and God was just speaking to him about his son. And he was so excited. And, you know, they begin all these thoughts and dreams. Wow, what does God want for him? And a month later, his wife Jennifer miscarries. And they lost the baby. They lost Matthias. He died. Never born, miscarried in the stomach. And that happened on a Saturday, and Zach is supposed to lead worship the next day, Sunday morning. And he did so, even though he didn't feel like it, but because God was worthy. And he tells that he begins to lead worship, he makes it through the first song, in the middle of the second song, he just begins to break down and cry. The staff knew it, but the congregation didn't, and so he just paused and he told everyone that they lost their baby boy yesterday. And many of the people in the congregation had been praying with them and for them. And he says, you know, we had been believing and doing all these things and standing on the word and declaring faith declarations, and we lost him anyway. But Zach said this to the church. He said, guys, I don't trust God because he always does what I want. I trust him because he's already proven that he loves me. And even though I don't always understand him, I know that he always has my best in mind. And then Zach led them back into praise and worship. And friends, something happened in that church service. Because there were people there who had been hurt and robbed and disappointed by God, and they needed to forgive him. And they realize, I've got to forgive God. And they begin to forgive him. They begin to release the bitterness. They begin to let go of those broken expectations. And they begin to let God come back in their lives and heal them. And that congregation began to praise and worship God more than they had ever had. There was a new lease on life because they were willing to let go of their trial, the bigness of what was going on, and instead look up and praise him and realize how wonderful he is. This morning, I don't know what's going on in your life, but we're going to take some time and we're going to praise and worship him. I want you to think about a couple of things here. In your bulletin on the bottom, there's a box and there's some questions there. And the first one says, I need to turn from my sin so I can legitimately praise God. And here's the thing. Some of us, we are sitting on the throne of our lives. And as long as we're sitting there and we're in charge, there's no way God can sit on the throne. There's no way we can praise him. Some of you here, you're not a Christian. You haven't asked Christ in your life. You've never given up control of your life to him. But today, you know you need to surrender. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And you need to give up control and ask him to forgive you and say, Jesus, I'm going to put you on the throne. I'm no longer going to be in control. There are some of you, you are Christians, but something happened and you've said, God, I'm taking you off the throne. I'm going to go back in charge. And today, you need to turn that around. You need to take yourself off the throne and put God back there. As we sing these songs, I want you to do that this morning. If you need to give your life to Christ, check that box. If you need to put God back on the throne, you're a Christian, but you've taken him off, check that box. There's a second box there, and it says, I need to praise God in a big way for it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what has happened in your life, but if God is saying, hey, maybe God's just saying, you're a grumbler and a complainer, and you agree with the devil's false forecast, you need to begin to become a person of praise. I want to develop praise. If it's something simple as that, maybe it's a specific situation. Whatever it is, write it down. We're going to take some time here, and we're just going to stand, and we're going to begin to praise him. We're going to begin to worship, and after a bit, I'm going to have our prayer team come down, and if you want prayer, you can come down. Maybe some of you say, as we're singing and praising, I need to settle some things with God. If you want to come to the altar, I want you to feel free to do that. But today, we're going to enthrone him, and not just on a little throne. We're going to recognize him as the God of the universe that he is. How much he loves us, how much he cares for us, that we can trust him. Let's stand this morning. Let's just build a throne of praise to him today. Far above all.
Praise you, God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we don't bless you because you've done what we wanted you to. Lord, we bless you because you are faithful. You are ever present. Lord, you are there in the midst of everything that we're going through. Can you do that this morning? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass, or whatever lies before me, let me His holy name. Sing
that day when my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. Oh, 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore, we will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, oh, my soul, we worship His rule. We worship You, Jesus, You're awesome.
Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.